Welcome
The Friendly Sparring Podcast. A podcast that normally has two co-hosts, but today we can only afford one. When I say afford, I mean time, I guess. I don't know, I thought it was a clever joke. Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast almost didn't happen. This episode. Didn't happen for a number of reasons. Firstly, we've been trying to reason why it's been so long, over a month at this point. Our last episode was July 28th. I feel so bad, especially for the patrons. You guys don't deserve that. T-Cross and I have been very busy, both pursuing our passions. And for me, I took on way more than I should have with theater this summer, and it's drowning me. I need a long break after this. I'm not even done. I'm not even done. The Crucible opens next week. On Thursday, I had the first read for a play I'm doing in October, which I'm like overlapping. So I'm not really going to be free until November. That doesn't mean our next episode is going to go until November. I hope that we'll have some free time once pretty much once the Crucible ends. I'll have more free time. T-Grass been doing busy doing stand up. He played a show at this theater. There's a legendary theater in New Jersey, or at least in our area. I say legendary, like it's kind of like it's a classic. It's been around a long time, and you go inside and it's just so gorgeous. It's called the Count Basie. He played at the venue next to it that's adjacent, that's part of it. Called the Vogel. It's like a smaller, like sister stage or whatever. He killed it. Which it was a competition. It was like, 10 of them, and who was the funniest? And this other guy absolutely slayed. No shade towards T-Cross at all. I'm sure he would admit, because I remember seeing him post on Facebook, and the guy commented, and he was like, "Dude, you were so funny." The guy was really fucking funny. But so was T-Cross. It was a good set. And I got it on video, thankfully, because his family didn't. They listened to the warning that they didn't allow filming. I was like, it doesn't matter to me. I'm in the rafters. No one can fucking see me. So there's that. The other reason that this episode almost didn't happen is because I've been really burnt out and depressed. And it's just something I've been grappling with. Yeah. I am doing too much. I'm almost never home because when I've been doing shows in a town that's like an hour and a half drive for me. So I have been staying at my ex mother-in-law's house, which of course is its own beast, if you will. So yeah, that's where I've been at. That's why this has taken so long. And it's been so long that I opened up my laptop and I almost didn't remember my password for a second. I was like it felt so foreign to me. It's because it's weird. I have a work laptop and a personal laptop. Obviously, it's my work laptop for work, so that's something I'm familiar with. But this one I pretty much use it just for podcasting. So I have one, but it's the same brand. But the login is different. And I don't mean just like my credentials, like the way you log in. I'm just like, it's so weird that it's so different. But whatever. So that was that. And then once I finally booted up my computer, I literally opened up Zoom and I stared at it for like 10 minutes. I was like, I don't know how to fucking do this anymore. I forgot how to podcast. The other thing too is that, like, because I'm so busy and fucking burnt out, I haven't even seen the fights. So, for all intents and purposes, this is not really an MMA podcast right now, this episode anyway. But I figured if we want to give a little rundown of what we're going to cover today, figured I'd give you my life update there. I really thought it was going to be more. I really thought I was going to like vent for a while and just like be upset, but I don't want to talk. I don't. I don't. So there's that. So I've gone on this podcast way too many times, and we're not doing that today. We are not doing that today. So there's that little life update. Oh, speaking of life update, T-Cross sends his love, and you should send some to him and his family. This is the reason he couldn't be here is he's got some family stuff going on that I don't want to divulge, but you know, he's with his family right now, and send him some love. So we'll get into that, and then I figured we would answer some forum questions. Only got a couple because most of my listeners are more focused on other podcasts now, so that's fine. And or just didn't have questions. I'm sure you lovely people listening right now are just focused on other things and didn't have any questions. Didn't mean to sound too salty, even though I am. Okay, anyway, so we're doing that, and then I want to go through the card for this weekend because, well, I shouldn't say this weekend. I guess it is this weekend, but it's not this coming weekend. It's today. It's today. So if you're listening to this podcast on Sunday or any other day, it's not Saturday the 9th, you're late, I guess. I don't know. Or obviously I'm late in getting it out because I should have done it well in advance, but here we are. So the fight started in several hours, and I wanted to kind of give a rundown. It's not got a ton of names, but it's got enough that I think we can do a nice little breakdown of the card and see where we go from there. So this will be really short because I don't have a lot of time or energy, as you can tell, but I miss connecting with you guys and wanted to share some stuff here. So here we fucking go, as Catfish likes to say. Buckle up, Buttercup, because here we fucking go. All right, I am fairly certain. Yep, no, I just have one from Shane Tara. We have a voicemail from Shane Tara that we're going to play here. And that goes as follows. Hold on. Technical difficulties.
What's up, guys? So I'm watching one live right now, and something that they've been doing for a while that I think is kind of cool is they will have a signed fighter fighting someone that's not signed or a chance to get a contract with one. And I think that's pretty cool. And I'm wondering if you think any other organization might consider doing like single off fighter contracts for the opportunity to get a real contract. Like what the odds are the other companies might do that. It's almost like an advanced version of like the contender series. So I'm just kind of curious what you all think.
It's so interesting. So I don't watch one usually because it's not convenient for me. And I don't know a ton of the fighters there. So there's that. But when I see highlights, like they've got a good product. I know I'm just, you know, like I'm not one of those people that thinks like UFC is superior above anything else. I just only have room in my life for so much, right? To answer the question, I think it's interesting, but I don't know that I love that it's on like a main thing. You know what I mean? Like it's actually on, I don't mean like the main card, like probably a prelim, I hope, but I mean like it's on an actual card versus like, you know, man, if they did that for International Fight Week in the UFC, I would love that. Or if another promotion did it, like Bellator used to have like postlims or like little one-off fights that they would do like before the card actually started, like prelims or something. Maybe I'm making that up. I don't love it. It's almost like when they do like the tough finale and they just put like the guys that they're not really going to sign, but it's like they were on the show, so they should be part of the finale, but it's like a card that's like mixed with other fighters that had nothing to do with tough that season. And it's like, why are we doing this? So I would love a separate card like that, like where like almost like he said, like the contender series, but it's an actual fighter. Like maybe you get someone that's, you know, it's kind of like a loser leaves town in a way. Like you get someone who is on maybe like a 3-fight skid where you would normally cut, but instead of cutting them, you go, okay, you want to earn your job back? Fight this up and comer who doesn't have a contract yet. Let's see who wants it more. And that is shitty and shady business practices, to be honest with you. But it's also better than what they normally do. Like I said, when I say shady and shady business practices, it's more like treating them like show ponies or whatever, and not really letting them do their thing. Like treat it like a human being or whatever. But at the same time, like I said, they're doing it anyway. So. Like, if you're going to do something like that, I think that's better. And I kind of like the idea. So, thank you, Shane Tara. Hope you are doing well. Actually, I've been spending a lot of time in your area lately. Just moved my friend to West Philly. So, maybe I'll stop by. And now we go on to the couple of questions we have here in the Twitter forum. I got actually a DM from Rhino. Says, hey, Juicy Fruit Baby. This is Rhino from the Combat Sports, the Rhino podcast. What are your thoughts on there being 6 city kickboxing gym fighters on tonight's card? Is that too much or too many for any one gym to have on a single UFC card? Is it an unfair advantage in any way? Thank you, broski. Dude, I love it. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck if it's all city kickboxing guys. Fill the entire card with them, dude. I was fighting each other, but for their opponents, I love it. I'm going to say it's going to run Eugene Behrman ragged. Can you imagine if literally he was in the corner for every single fight? He just like doesn't do the walkouts. He just sort of waits. He's like, okay, well, next one. You know what I mean? Just kind of chill on their octagon side. I think that would be kind of fun. But oh yeah, just do like every other one. Give him a break. You know what I mean? Spritz it. Let's say there's 14 fights, 7 of his guys. You know. So it's every other one. I mean, Trevor Whitman did the 3 back-to-back, I think. Or maybe it was like 2 back-to-back and then a break and then the 1 or whatever. But he did 3 of his fighters for, I want to say it was UFC 280. It was Kamaru Usman, Gaethje, and Rose, basically, were the 3. I love it. I don't think it's an unfair advantage. I mean, obviously, they have a hometown advantage in a way, as much as you can have that. Like, you know, they don't have to change time zones, and at least not a ton. Cause I mean, Australia is not New Zealand, as much as we kind of consider them part of the same region. That's not. So there is a little bit of a time zone difference too. But yeah, I love it. More of it. I don't know what to say, but I love it. It's a great question because I could see how you could think of it as an unfair advantage. You could also think of it as like there are guys that don't like to fight on the same card as their teammates, dude. Like they get nervous, and like especially certain ones where you have too much of a strong bond. Like imagine fucking Dan Hooker was on the card. I know Izzy and Dan Hooker are really close. Like imagine Dan Hooker's on the card and gets knocked out. And maybe Izzy's like shaken up before his fight. You know what I mean? Like, there could be that risk. But as far as it goes, man, I think it's good for them, you know, to have that. And their opponents know they're stepping into fucking enemy territory anyway. It's like, you know, you might as well really up the stakes. And that makes it's drama. I like that. I like the drama. That's what I love about combat sports. Okay, got a question from the homie Mr. B. He says, who you got for next weekend's rematch, Grasso or Shevchenko? I gotta say, I know this is like wishy-washy of me. And when I say wishy-washy, I don't mean like I'm not gonna commit. I just mean like I've always been, you know, pretty high on Valentina Shevchenko. Like, oh yeah, she's the greatest. And like, if anyone beats her, it's a fluke or whatever. I didn't think Grasso's win was a fluke, and I think she can do it again. Now I think it'll be tougher. Like Valentina's very calculated. She's not going to make the same mistakes. But it's not like Valentina was dominating until Grasso took her back for that spinning back fist. It was similar to Rockhold Weidman, where one guy had some good moments, the other guy had some other good moments, and then one guy made a mistake and the other guy capitalized on it. I think Grasso can get it done again. Now, it's going to be, like I said, it is going to be tougher. Valentina is not going to give her that same opening. But what is this going to do for her confidence? Like, she hasn't really lost. Like, she's lost decisions. She lost a decision to Amanda that she thought she won. She lost another one to Amanda. But this is like, it's a bigger girl. Like, she knew she wasn't really in her right weight class. This is her first loss in her natural weight class, and it was by finish. Like, I just don't know where her head is at. But they always say, too, like, with being a champion comes, like, new obligations. And when a champion sometimes has those obligations lifted, they can train more, they're hungrier, they want the belt back. You know, we'll see. I mean, I honestly thought Kamaru Usman versus Leon Edwards was like, okay, the first one was Kamaru basically dominating the whole fight until getting knocked out. So on the rematch, I was like, I still favor Kamaru. And granted, the fact that like it was kind of too quick to come back after a knockout, but Leon really did work in the rematch. So you never know with these things. And I don't know. What about Grasso, chingazos? Fuck yeah, love Mr. B. I wouldn't be surprised if he's opposite, because we're usually opposite. And now we have a question from the homie MMA by Milliken. Shout out to Milliken, does a great podcast. Suspect Picks. We love Milliken on the show. And he says, okay, it's a double date, an elegant night out, tuxedo only. Obviously, fight breaks out. Which fighters are you guys taking with you on that date? My personal choice is always Valentina. She looks great in a dress, and there won't be a fight. And he always does a little visual element. There's a picture of Valentina in looking pretty fucking hot, if I do say so myself. She's wearing like a leather skirt, I think that is, or it might be a skirt. Who knows what's underneath? If there is anything underneath, not that I'm wondering. And a little fishnet, a little crop top with a nice lace bra underneath. What the fuck, Milliken? Where did you find this picture? Oh, Gun Cult Magazine. She's holding an assault rifle. Great. Okay, so obviously I didn't specify in the post that T-Cross wasn't going to join me. So this is kind of being posed for both of us. Like, who are we taking on our dates? To be honest with you, I know T-Cross is a big fan of Joanna Jędrzejczyk, so I'm going to just say he's going to pick her. And honestly, look, I keep fucking staring at that picture. I'm going to pick Valentina too, because first of all, it would be so interesting with like T-Cross and I being boys, and they have fought three times. Like, can you imagine how awkward that would be? Oh, I would love it. Oh, I would love it. Like, I feel like they might want like a foursome to like maybe hate fuck each other a little bit. That could be interesting. That could be very interesting. But before that, a fight breaks out, get the adrenaline going. I think they're going to beat the brakes off anybody. Although it'd be funny if like, you know, I'm fucking 6'3", 300 pounds. T-Cross is 6'1", 2 something, I think. Or maybe he's like, I don't know, a buck 90 or whatever. I don't know. And these little women with us, these little 125-pound women are like whooping the shit out of whoever's fighting. And we're just like sitting back chilling. Sipping our beer. That would be fucking hilarious. Wow, what a great question. And what a great scenario. I just pictured in my mind for that date. I love everything about it. And that, unfortunately, is all we have for the forum. So let me pull up this week's card here. Very interesting card, actually. It's not a stacked pay-per-view per se. I mean, a lot of people were complaining that a lot of the like Anzac fighters that they typically have are missing, but the UFC, I just realized, I was like, okay, if they're 14 fights. Maybe Eugene does seven. There's 12 fights. And Rhino said there are six guys from City Kickboxing. So it kind of did what I said anyway. So fuck it. But yeah, I got ahead of myself there. But basically, JDM, Dan Hooker, Robert Whitaker, these guys fought in July. They fucked themselves. They robbed Peter to pay Paul, essentially. Only Peter and Paul are both themselves. So what are you going to do? Fucking UFC. The first fight of the night is between Kevin Jussé. Sounds like someone trying to say my name with a French accent. Welcome to Friendly Sparring. This is your host, Jussé. Versus Kiefer Crosby. I think Kiefer Crosby is going to smash him just because he's Irish and up the Irish. You know what I'm saying? I wish I had more Irish listeners. Used to back in the day. Don't anymore. Shane Young versus Gabriel Miranda. I'm told that Shane Young missed weight. Now, Gabriel Miranda has a sweet, sweet mustache, dude. So, you know, always pick with the guy with the mustache. Mike Mathitha. Is this that fuck Blood Diamond? And we were like, oh, no, that's his real name, guys. And then we found out it's Mike Mathitha. I hate when they do that shit, when they pretend that the nickname is the real name. Not that I don't do that with my own name, but in fight sports, it's different. But like, yo, like when it was like Paolo Boachinha, they just said that was his name. And we just took it as fact. And like, oh, actually, Boachinha means eraser in Portuguese. And he wanted his nickname to be the eraser. So we're going to go with Paolo the Eraser Costa now. Like, what the fuck, man? You can't just change this shit up on us. So, yeah, anyway, I'm picking Charles Radke because fuck Blood Diamond. Nasrat Haqparast versus Landon Quinones. I'm trying to think of the right phrasing for this. I think knockoff Kelvin Gastelum is going to get it done here. And if you don't know what I mean by that, you're probably not someone that listens to this show. So I assume everyone listening knows what I'm talking about. Jamie Mullarkey versus John McDessie, boy. This is one, man, if Leo were here, he would put up the picture of the guy from Zelda, Ocarina of Time. I can't unsee that whenever I look at this guy now. It sucks because I would like John McDessie to win. He's cool. He was on Rhino's show. He was just unhinged on that show, just absolutely unhinged. Jamie Mullarkey, I don't know a single thing about him other than he fights like a goddamn animal in a cage. Well, they're in a cage. But my heart wants to pick John McDessie, but I know in my heart that Jamie Mullarkey is younger and faster and probably a little bigger, to be honest with you, because John McDessie has been around a long time. He was around when like lightweights were smaller. He's guys that he fought are now fighting at featherweight. So I think Jamie Mullarkey is going to run him into the ground, if I'm being honest. But who knows? What do I know? I'm just a schmuck on a microphone. Also, that reminds me. So I did the show that I was doing. I was in rehearsals for it last time we recorded and we were like close to opening. So I may have mentioned it. It was called Laughter on the 23rd Floor, a Neil Simon play. And it took place in the 50s. And we said schmuck a bunch, like, oh, you schmuck. But there were a couple of times where we would say putz. I look like a putz in this or whatever. And I was like, we have to bring back putz as an insult. Or schmuck, both. We're bringing them both back. But can you imagine, like, it's not a swear word. It's like, because of I feel like our culture nowadays, like we say, like swear words in our everyday vernacular now. Like we just say, like we can't think of something. It's like replace the word like you're like, you know what I mean? So there's that. It doesn't have the sting anymore. Like you can't say, oh, this, because I'm like, oh, this motherfucker right here. Like I say it as a term of endearment sometimes. So it doesn't have the sting. But you never would say that as a term of endearment. Like, oh, you fucking schmuck. You absolute putz. It just, to me, it has the sting. I don't know if anyone agrees, but I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there. Actually, that's the title of the episode. We're bringing back putz as an insult. Speaking of which, Jack Jenkins versus Chepe Mariscal. Probably a setup for the Australian and Jack Jenkins, or the New Zealander. I think it's the New Zealander. The flags are kind of hard to read sometimes. They're basically the same when you're looking on Typology. But Chepe Mariscal has a fucking fun ass name, dude. Like, I do not want to hear Bruce Buffer going like, Jack Jenkins. I want to hear Chepe Mariscal. I don't know why I gave him that like growl. Imagine if like Bruce Buffer, the voice for a Cookie Monster. Like, he still has his like fucking announcer voice, but he had to put on something extra. Like, if me see cookies. Oh, that's so you know that this fucking podcast is off the rails. Okay, Carlos Olberg versus Daun Jung. Obviously, this is a setup fight for Jag, who apparently used to be nicknamed Ladies Knight. It's a terrible nickname, but he's fine as hell, so I get it. Carlos Olberg for the win here. Speaking of fine as hell, Anton Turcali versus Tyson Pedro. I like Tyson Pedro here. I was listening to Ariel's show earlier, and GC was saying how if Turcali can like weather the first round, he doesn't have faith in Tyson Pedro's cardio. But have a little faith in your boy. I mean, I don't know. I like it. I like his chances. And then Justin Taffa versus Austin Lane. I gotta say, man, the fucking eye poke from their last fight was one of the nastiest shit I've ever fucking seen. I was like, yo, why were we doing this? And like, I don't think Justin Taffa is a dirty fighter, but whenever a bad eye poke like that happens, I get so mad at the fighter who did it. I'm just like, you careless piece of shit. You're fucking careless. And like, the matchup makes me want to pick Justin Taffa. Like, it's in his home country. Like, Austin Lane had the home court. It was the last fight was in Jacksonville, where Austin Lane played football for years. I'm gonna still ride with Austin Lane. He also like lost to Greg Hardy on the Contender Series, so I just like want him to do well, because anyone that loses to Greg Hardy, I want to do well. I don't know why, just because like I feel bad. I mean, I also want anyone that beats Greg Hardy to do well. I mean, to be fair, it's probably better if like the people that Greg Hardy beat lose, because it looks better that like he, you know, or it looks bad on him. You know what I'm saying? Like, what was that guy he fought? Ben Susily, the inhaler fight, the wombat with the worst mullet I've ever seen. Haven't heard of that guy since. You know what I mean? So yeah. Austin Lane for the win here, I'm hoping. Manel Cobb versus Felipe Dos Santos. Now, Manel Cobb is fucking crazy. Okay. I don't know what the hell he was saying at the press conference. I don't know what the hell Izzy was saying. They bleeped everything to hell. I saw Kaikar France throw up the double bird in the audience. I don't know what the fuck happened there, but Manel Cobb looks like he's ready to kill a motherfucker. And like, Felipe Dos Santos, not for nothing, is a little kid. Like, he's being thrown to the wolves here. Manel Cobb's going to eat him for fucking dinner. I don't even know what time local time it is there. You know what's wild, too, about Manel Cobb? His fucking profile picture on Tapology makes him look like Charles Bennett. I'm like, that looks like felony. That looks like crazy horse. All right. Tai Tuivasa versus Alexander Volkov. Dude, I don't give a fuck about being accurate. Here's the thing, dude. I was listening to a podcast earlier today, and there was like, okay, we all love Tai, but obviously Volkov's going to get it done. No. No, that is not what we do on this podcast. That is absolutely what we were never going to do. We're picking Ty for the win. He's going to smash this fucking Russian fuck. And he's going to do a shoey all over his face. How about that? These are the breakdowns you come here for, right? That's what this show is known for. Not technical breakdowns, fucking shoey breakdowns. That's what the actual title of the podcast is going to be, shoey breakdowns. No, I don't like either of those, to be honest with you. I might have a completely new title. All right, now the main event. Now, usually when this gentleman is fighting, I say his full name with all the different names And he lately is really pissing me off. So I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say Izzy. Izzy versus Sean Strickland. Sandy had the perfect take on this. I have a group chat with Leo and Dave L, and I was like, Sandy with the perfect take, as always. And I was like, no, Sandy, the tweet said, are you rooting for Strickland or Adesanya? No, I'm rooting for an asteroid to take out the entire continent. Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't give a fuck who wins. Well, no, that's not entirely true. Because as disgusting as Izzy has been lately, I do not want to live in a world where Sean Strickland is UFC champion. So I'd rather root for a draw title champion still retains the belt. So it doesn't really matter, but you know what I mean? But also, like, from a technical standpoint, Sean Strickland has zero chance in this fight. Israel Adesanya could show up with fucking bronchitis and still step in the ring and get it done against Sean Strickland. He could show up on one leg and get it done against Sean Strickland. There's no fucking way here. Sean Strickland is so out of his depth here. And honestly, if he somehow pulls it off and wins, you can clip this off and put it all over the internet. I don't give a fuck. That's where I'm at right now. All right. And speaking of that's where I'm at right now, we're kind of careening towards an end here, a little crash landing. I didn't have much in me today, guys, but wanted to just say hi. Missed everybody. Haven't really been on the timeline either because Twitter sucks now that it's called X. And, I should plug that. Catfish got me onto Blue Sky. MMA Catfish. So if you're on Blue Sky, give me a follow. And I'm trying to find my goddamn username. Oh, it's... So all fucking Blue Sky usernames end in .bsky.social for some fucking reason. But the first part of it is Jucifer Jackson, JUICIFER Jackson at JuciferJackson.bsky.social. Figure it out. I only have 6 followers, so I'm not really on there either. But if more people joined or came over, I would be on there more often. There's no DMs, though, which I hate. I need to be a whore in the DMs. That's what I'm known for. I came on the fucking, I opened the app for the first time and I'm like poking around and I was just like, what? There's no DMs? And Catfish was like roasting me. He's like, oh, you're a whore. You need DMs. I'm like, yes, that is exactly what I need it for whoring. I need to be a whore in the DMs. Okay. Now it can also be sweet in the DMs, but whatever I do in the DMs is my business. It's my fucking business. I'm going to air my laundry in public. I'm going to put that shit on the timeline. Reminds me of this, this line I had in a play once. It was like, it's from Importance of Being Earnest. If you guys know the play, it's a kind of a classic play. It was like, I'm sitting next to this woman, Mary Farquhar, who always flirts with her husband. And flirting with one's own husband in public is so bad. It's like washing one's own clean linens in public or whatever. I'm just like, it's so dumb. But yeah. I'll tell you one thing I do like about Blue Sky. I saw this tweet on there the other day that said, why haven't anti-abortion weirdos banned cream pie eating? It's cannibalism. I mean, to be honest with you, anti-abortion weirdos don't really know about cream pie eating, probably, but don't tell them. I'm never giving it up. And on that note, I'm going to shout out the patrons before we get out of here. Fucking love our patrons here. Shout out to APB, Sandy Pants, Alex from Jersey, T-Cross, Fee, Dave L., Jimmy the Drunk, Mix the Man, Anonymous, David Everett, Wholesome MMA, Supermanly Nick, David S, D. Kronz, Harry Andrew, Cakes, QAR, Dash, Zim, and Shane Terra. Before I let you go, I want to leave you with one last final nugget of wisdom.